face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now, and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.
B-Pod Studios.
Zolak, Bertrand, and the guy who has to put up with both of them. Hardy.
Hey, nice shirt. Where'd you get that? At the crappy shirt store? Just kidding. How you doing?
Zolak and Bertrand.
Hardy. How you doing?
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Downs, high hopper, Story to first, double play, game over. Red Sox win it 11-6 for the second night in a row. Jeter Downs contributes defensively against the Yankees. But it was all offense tonight, 11 runs, 11 hits, a bunch of home runs. Boston wins it.
Jeter wins it for the Red Sox on the last play.
Who win it now?
Nice having Lou Ferrigno doing the color.
I am Andrew Luck. Jeter Downs throws it to first.
They took the cheese on that Jeter thing, didn't they?
Whew.
Jeter wins it. All the national broadcasts just ran with it.
Both
how we doing,
Zoe?
Hey, I think I'm doing all right.
Yeah.
Feels like I'm still on vacation.
We're
a little
here.
Bit.
We're gonna do a show today.
I know. It's a bit like I was expecting a ton of traffic, thinking, "Hey, it's reentry week, right?" A lot of people took the fourth week off. It's kind of what you do. And then traffic was light, so I get a little confused coming in. I thought I was in for gridlock today. I mean, it bottled up at around the gas tanks, but it wasn't that bad.
Well, welcome back.
Bye. I'm back.
Good to see you.
It's good to see you too.
I saw you over the weekend, but good to see you here today.
Yeah. See you again. Yeah.
T-Bone, how you doing? Haven't seen you in a few weeks. Milliken?
It's been a while.
How you doing?
What's up?
Milliken looks different. What'd you do?
He groomed himself.
I got a haircut.
Oh, you actually
went to the groomer.
Good boy. Big series for him this weekend.
Do they put the leash around your neck and tie you to that little hook when they do you up there at mutt cuts?
It was quite traumatizing.
Nice. They're the non-itch shampoo they use.
All right, then. Well, we're back. At least two of us are. Arcand's here today.
Hello.
Christian, how you doing?
I'm doing great.
Good, hey, Arcand.
Good to What's have up? You here. All right. Yeah, Red Sox. A lot of that going on. It's the only thing going on. Huge that they split.
I watched a ton of it, obviously.
Massive that they split last night and got that win. Big swing.
Love the Red Sox-Yankee games. And if they didn't get last night, then what transpired Saturday night with that comeback? It would sort of, I would say, lessen that. Not that, oh my God, you split, you're gaining ground on them. I don't really even think that's about that. You know, Yankees are the number one team. They're the best team in baseball. But what you do coming out of this week, and it makes you believe that, okay, we can play with them. You know, I mean, we could show some things that they have some flaws. Like they have some starting pitching issues. We got to their closer. It was pretty much untouchable. We started, three rookie pitchers. We got guys down, Devers out, bunch of guys hurt. But you just hang around and you scrap, and I think it's a credit to them for what they've been able to do to come back in these last two games and win the final two.
Well, standing-wise, here's what happens last night. It didn't really matter standing-wise for the Red Sox. If they lose last night, they're still leading the wild card race. It's not like they're falling out of it. They're not actually chasing the Yankees in the American League East. They've got no shot at catching them now. That, I think, has been made clear. But in terms of, can the Red Sox play with these teams? Can they compete with Tampa Bay? Can they compete with New York? Their record against the division is dreadful. And this is the month where we said, here's a measuring stick of where the Red Sox are at.
Yep.
And can they be competitive? And are they worth investing in at the deadline? All these questions and answers happen in the month of July. And last night, coming back and winning that game, is the difference between losing 3-4 to the Yankees, losing that series, losing the previous series to Tampa Bay, and having one win against New York where you're going to sit back and say, well, if Josh Donaldson picks up the baseball cleanly, then you got swept by the Yankees.
That's true.
And that's how you frame it. Whereas you win last night, you split the series, and you say, oh, that's baseball. You get the split. And you came back, and you played well last night. At least offensively, they did.
Yeah, they did. And it gets you feeling good about yourself going into a week where you got four against Tampa, which is another huge litmus test with Chrisell and Eovaldi here on the horizon. So there's a couple good things that could happen to your ball club this week. We'll wait and see what happens with Devers. I think they got to be careful with him to make sure, you know, with the All-Star break coming up and all that, that this guy's right, you know, for the stretch. He's your bat. But I thought Trevor Story looked good over the weekend. You know, Verdugo, your guy, had a nice little series there.
He did.
Some clutch hitting, some grab ass in the outfield, which was...
Oh, the interview in the game last night? Did you enjoy that?
He likes that umpire over there. Yeah, that's one of his favorite guys. I mean, that must be great that you could do that during a high-tension type, you know, Yankee-Red Sox game. What do you think of the wall? Well, I'll turn around, look around. That's nice.
I said last night.
You hit it.
Verdugo proved what we all know, which is outfielders don't do a GD thing during the course of a game. Nothing.
Except center fielders, maybe.
Useless.
Wasn't that also the longest inning in the history of baseball?
Yeah, no. Hey, Doug, please conduct an interview while you're in the field, because you know why? You're an outfielder. You think they're going to conduct an interview with the shortstop in the middle of the game?
No.
Nope.
There's a reason that's an expression, out in left field.
Yeah.
Kind of wish they did when Bogarts had that one hit at him.
Picking daisies or getting interviewed by ESPN, that is all the same thing.
They've done infielders. They did Lindor and Albies earlier this year.
Are they out of their minds?
It's crazy.
That's
why would those guys do that?
I've seen the first baseman too.
Like, you look at that.
Oh, that's bad. Well,
the Bogarts lineup yesterday.
After what, game 60? I mean, these guys probably don't
even care. Speaking of first base, I'm glad you brought that up, T-Bone, because do you think Bobby Dalbec could conduct an interview at first base while playing the position? Because he can't play the position when he's not conducting an interview.
Those little shoulders, even little slumps.
Yeah. Is anyone over the fact that the Red Sox haven't had a first baseman in years now? I'm sort of done with that.
Oh, they kind of did. Yeah,
I'm sort of done with that, and they need to address that at the deadline.
Yeah,
they need to go find a first baseman. It's brutal over there. Defensively, for the last week, they've been a mess. Whether it's losing a ball in the twilight in right field.
That was special.
Whether it's Franchi missing pop-ups. Whether it's Dalbec being a... I mean, it's a comedy of errors.
That stuff shouldn't happen at that level. The wrong one, right? I don't know where the ball is. I don't know. Wow. You know, it's like he turns around and sprints. It's like a little, it's not even a little league. It's like a T-ball game. That was like a T-ball game. Like, how does that happen at that level? I guess when you take infielders and you put them in the outfield, take outfielders, put them in the infield, and the construction and of your team and the way it's built.
Yep.
You have no choice. Jackie Bradley pitch. That was fun watching that one.
It was. It was really exciting stuff.
I went right at Adam Jones just to see what he would start tweeting.
What do you make of the Yankees after watching them for a weekend?
They're loaded. Like, they rested guys at the beginning of the series. They're at the point now where they're so good. To watch guys like Donaldson and that, it's still the same guys. Chapman, yeah. You know, they got guys that can hit. They got guys that could rake in that lineup at any time. And you got a guy like Judge that could go, 0 for 4, 0 for 5, and then just smack a double and just change the course of a game. That's how good that guy is. That's a good team. I think they're better than they were last year. I think they're a lot better than they were last year. That's what, like, from 1 through 9, that whole lineup, they all can hit.
I mean, I think that, I think Aaron Judge being the real anchor in that lineup is abundantly clear. When you watch this team, and he's given them everything that he's giving them offensively. You saw him make a nice play in center on Saturday night. He's been playing well in center field for them too. In terms of the MVP conversation, I could just see why I would say at this point, assuming he doesn't fall off a cliff, he's a lock to win the MVP.
I would pay extra money to go buy a ticket to go to that type of series.
There it is.
To watch.
Gauge. That's, will I watch?
He's the draw. No, but he's the draw. The team's the draw. The angst between the two teams and that tension is still there. It's not like what it was in the early 2000s, but it's still there, man. And that whole, you know, playing thing last year and how electric that was and how that helped them and how it got sort of, you know, motion back into it. Judge is the draw, though. Guys like Judge and Donaldson and bad guy. Not that you hate Judge.
Yeah,
I like Judge. I like Judge as a player.
I don't hate Judge.
Carrabba's met him. He's all excited.
I don't hate Aaron Judge.
Yeah, his panties in a bunch too.
What do you mean?
Carrabba's finally met Judge over the weekend.
Why? What do you mean panties in a bunch?
He's always a really good guy. Yeah, Carrabba's swung the other way now on Judge. Like, great guy. That's your boy, Milliken. Boy, can he be.
That is my boy. The face of baseball, as Jerry Karabas said.
I don't think he is. We've had this conversation before. I don't believe that he is.
It's a damn injury potential breakdown with him. Like, you're just waiting for that guy to get hurt at any time. He hasn't really played that many years, you know, injury-free.
But the Yankees now over the weekend, for as good as the Red Sox feel for getting the split, given the fact that they started three rookies for the first time since, was it 1945?
I think it was 47.
47? I sent you the date, Milliken. Historic weekend for the Red Sox to start all these kids, who, by the way, are not very good. But I'll accept that Bayo is young and that we're not going to hold that one
against Winkowski
them.
Gave you four good starts before that, and he really had one bad inning.
What's Bayo go again tonight?
Tonight,
Oh, good.
Bayo comes in, and Cutter Crawford, talk about huge. This is three big outings from him now that he's given you this year. I think out of all the pitching prospects, he was probably the one you expected to do it the least. The fact that he stepped up, he's earned himself another start and definitely a role in the bullpen.
Can they get a first baseman for him?
The idea I'm floating, yeah. I would trade Cutter. I'd mention him in that.
Yeah. I'm serious.
I'd throw him. I'd Bobby Delbecq, Chris Murphy, and I start to have that conversation and see if you can go get Josh Bell. Because you add Josh Bell to this lineup.
That'd be great.
Whoa.
Whoa. Yeah, Milliken. Whoa. Whoa. But how do the Yankees feel after? Not that they really it matters for them because they can coast right now.
I just think they should.
No, see, I don't think that's true because I don't think that their manager is getting tossed from the game last night if they don't care.
There's a constant.
Wow, those are three crazy pitches that weren't even close, though, on Stanton.
There's
a constant. About the Stanton one, right? The Stanton at bat. He took three balls that weren't even strikes. But they called strikes. So, yeah, that's when you get tossed over. But, like, at that point, you're like, okay, I got to do something. I don't blame him.
But to be going against AAA starting pitching.
Right.
And then have, you know, a split over the weekend when you should have won. Probably, I mean, it's fair to say the Yankees should have won on Saturday night.
They should have won the game. I'd say the Yankees blew that game.
They blew the game on Saturday
night. The closer choked. Yes.
Okay. And so now how do they feel coming out of that? It can't be wonderful. Yeah. And they were talking about it last night on, wait, which broadcast was I listening to? It was the K-Rod cast at the end of the, they go to the ninth inning and Michael Kay's kids were on the set and they were talking about, will this one stick with the Yankees at all? Will they remember this going forward before they have to meet this team again next week? Will they sort of stick with them? I don't know if it'll stick with them, but that, I don't know that I'd feel great right now. They don't lose very often.
Is that one of the first times we could watch that alternative broadcast? You know, they do this with the national championship game for college football and that, where Lou Holtz is there swishing and eating food, and it really doesn't work. Like the Manning cast, like, yeah, you're going to get good guests, but it really doesn't work. It kind of worked last night.
K-Rod cast last night was tremendous.
It blew away the original broadcast. I didn't watch the original broadcast after, you know, oh crap, I forgot Mass was going on.
They had Roger Clemens on for over an hour.
Oh, my God. Him and A-Rod talking baseball?
The only thing that made me a little uncomfortable is when they started talking about their workout routines. I'm like, I don't know that these two guys want to be talking about that right now, but everything else they talked about was awesome.
Yeah.
Clemens especially. He was awesome on there. But anyway, let's now rip the Red Sox. That's enough nice talk about the Red Sox. They split over the weekend. Let's now get to where their issues lie and what their problems are. And Heim Bloom. Let's get to Heim Bloom. Let's get to that, if you don't mind. By the way, Robles is gone.
I saw that.
We go on vacation. Robles, out of here.
We should go take more vacations.
I'm glad Heim Bloom agreed with me on that he was totally useless. Guy sucked.
And he gave you a lot to start the year. Oh. It was eight straight scoreless appearances to start the year.
You know me. I've never been a Robles guy.
Hey, you don't make
even when he was pitching well, I hated him.
You don't make the playoffs without him. That is true. But he was good in April. He broke.
All right. 617-779-0985. Thoughts from Red Sox and Yankees over the weekend. And the issues with the Red Sox. We'll get to that next.
Face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now, and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.
This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I think that's sort of low class.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
you have up and downs in the season, and you're going to go through slumps, and then you're going to get hot, you know. And we did a good job against Cole, Cortez, Montgomery, Tyon. They did a good job against us, too. You know, we put some good swings. We hit the ball out of the ballpark today. We got to the bullpen, too, throughout the series, so...
Ten 20 here on Zolak and Bertrand on this Monday. So welcome back from Vacay Monday. John Tomasi, NBC Sports Boston, writing about the Red Sox over the weekend, that the Red Sox need to learn the lesson of roster flexibility not being king, is what he pretty much says. He says their focus on roster flexibility has resulted in a second baseman losing lazy fly balls in right field and an outfielder turning himself into a pretzel on pop-ups. He says perhaps these are not the best uses of their considerable resources. He does admit they never had a chance over the course of the last week. It's not about the losses. No one replaces 80% of their rotation with AAA arms and expects to compete in baseball's beastliest division. But he does talk about Friday, Christian Arroyo in right field on a Gallo fly ball that went, I'm going to say, like 30 feet past him.
Yeah.
Yeah, somewhere in that range.
Yeah, no, I mean, it was more than 30. Like, it went right to the wall. And, like, that Friday game was such a precursor to what the potential real disaster could have been for that team over the weekend. Like, wow, they're going into the series with this. You know, Jackie Bradley finishing off the game on the mound. I get, you're like, holy crap, it's a Major League Baseball team. And they sort of say, I don't want to say they saved Heim Bloom's ass, but the way they played the last two nights, sort of takes him off the hot burner.
Also talks about Franchi Cordero on a 53-foot pop-up, as Tomasi has. I don't know if that's official. I don't know if that's StatCast data.
Well, I'm sure he was there.
If he measured that, 53-foot pop-up fall directly behind him like it had been dropped off a building as the eventual winning run scored in Thursday's game.
What was the broadcast asking? Is there wind?
And he says,
remember that? They're like, wait a minute. Is there wind?
Is there wind? No.
No.
As Tomasi writes, I put neither of those plays on the players who botched them. They are the result of the front office leaving the roster just a little bit short this winter, which they've been trying to overcome ever since. He said the pop-up to Cordero is what happens when you refuse to sign an actual first baseman for the third straight year. He said the Red Sox clearly believe anyone can play the position. But 2 years of third baseman Bobby Dalbec, outfielder slash DH Kyle Schwarber, and now Cordero there have shown the holes in that logic. And here's the other part, because this is a name that we mentioned early in the year, Tristan Casas. If the Red Sox were banking on that guy being a midseason call-up, as Tomasi wrote, he didn't look ready before he got injured. And even if he had stayed healthy, why not cover yourself with someone experienced? And I would say that is not a second guess. That is something that was being discussed in the winter months. So that one, to me, is fair game to go after Heim Bloom for.
Yeah.
And absolutely, it's just, I don't know what it is. What is their aversion to this? Why do they not want to actually sign a first baseman?
Especially considering you went over the luxury tax. Like, I think that's been the biggest question the whole time. If you're willing to go over, why not just finish up? Why not get one more bullpen arm?
Like, you went screaming past it with the Trevor Story signing. You spent all that money, so you're there. Might as well keep going. Might as well get that bullpen arm. Might as well invest in a first baseman. You might as well do it. You're over it. This year counts as an overage.
Yeah, and as you approach that trade deadline, too, like Sam Kennedy over the last couple of weeks keeps saying that, too. What Tyler said, like, yeah, we've gone over the luxury tax. Like, we're in it to spend.
Go big or go home. What are we doing?
Yeah, but it doesn't feel like that with the offseason.
You could have got Ryan Tepera on a 2-year deal. Just one more arm in the back of that bullpen to help you. And I'll give him his credit. Like, the depth has stepped up in a lot of ways, but you need help at first base. There's no doubt about that. Right field, I think, is a little interesting with Rob Refsnyder now coming up and playing a role. Depending on what happens with Kiki Hernandez, that's a big conversation, too.
And let's not forget, they got some good deals that have worked out. Waka and Rich Hill, despite their recent injuries, worked for them. They nailed those ones.
Strom.
James Paxton, nowhere to be found. But
Strom.
Strom, right? I'll give you, you want to talk Schreiber, Diekman, you want to talk about all these guys that did work out? Great. You got them on the cheap, which means you should be able to spend that money elsewhere. And so I don't know if that's Bloom. I don't know if that's ownership, but there's someone to blame there for not going all the way on this
I got to think that's Bloom. Guys like Evaldi and Sell, who they're on the men, but like you're crossing your fingers with those two guys coming
well,
back.
Well, maybe he's dealing with a budget, and maybe he's trying to fill roster spots with a given budget that doesn't quite get them there.
Yeah.
But I'm not putting it on the players. I'm not putting it on the manager. I'm putting it on Bloom and ownership.
Yes.
Those two.
You can't blame the players in that spot. Like those guys like Arroyo, like, hey, run out there. You're in
what
right
do you field. Expect? Yeah. You have Christian Arroyo playing right. What the hell do you expect to have happen?
Yep.
I think there's a couple things. I'll go back to Bobby Delbecq. He should have been traded over the offseason.
Oh, he shouldn't be here.
Without a doubt.
We talked about him and Hunter Renfro. That was just a missed opportunity to take advantage of some value. And, you know, Delbecq, he's been a league average hitter since he moved into a platoon. So some of that's there, but it'll never be as high as it was this offseason. Now you got to hope you can use him in another piece to get like a Bell. And I think that's why you look at this trade deadline. You got to make up for it now, which you didn't do over the offseason.
And you've got all these sort of, you know, I know that Jeter Downs is up now and he contributed over the weekend. But I look at this team and every time I look at them, I'm like, they should have more of a utility infielder that doesn't exist on this roster. Like, they don't have
that. They've had, but you're so used to them having him for the last 20 years.
I think that's Arroyo.
That's their main thing.
Yeah, but he's not good.
Yeah.
he had been hot lately before he went down.
Even Brock Holt at times. Yeah, like, that's a guy that could play in different spots.
Yes.
Like a Brock Holt type player.
I want one of those guys.
Yeah.
Is that Kike Hernandez when he gets back?
Could be.
Could be. Yeah. That's a good point.
But I got to be honest. The injury that they're going to back and they're going to recheck.
Bad.
Not good.
I don't think that sounds good.
That K-Cast, who was it? Was it? Was it Clemens or A-Rod cracking on Dahlbeck?
Oh, it was Clemens.
Was Clemens.
He said he wasn't paying attention on his strikeout when he went down on three pitches. He goes, well, that's just not paying attention.
Jesus.
Who was he facing there? Was that Chapman? Yeah, it was Chapman.
Yeah, Raldis Chapman.
Yeah. Down and in on that ugly swing that he had. And he said, well, what are you doing? You're just not paying attention. I thought to myself, that's more criticism levied against this Red Sox team than Yuke has had all year long. In one sentence.
My man Yuke alone.
Oh, by the way, he's pissed.
Boy, rabbit ears, man.
I told you that was going to happen. Huh? I warned you, Zoe. I said, oh, wait, this will get back.
I didn't say anything crazy.
You didn't.
Yeah. You and your buddies.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah.
So it's been cut out of the royal family.
No. Oh,
not yet.
He doesn't get the invite to the weddings anymore.
Yeah. I'll get even with that jacket. Not you, the other one.
He can go to the funerals, but he's not allowed back to the luncheon.
I go to the wake. You go to the wake.
The family's not interested in having you attend.
No.
617-779-0985 with Nick in Providence. Hey, Nick.
Hey, what's up, fellas? Welcome back.
It's good to be back.
So Core kind of says it a little bit right there in that clip that you guys played on the rejoin, that once they got to the bullpen, it was kind of their game. You know, this might be a hot take, but the Yankees might be a sneaky front-running team. They have a few power arms at the start of their rotation. They obviously have a ridiculously powerful lineup. But once you get past those starters, they kind of fall apart. I mean, it's really King and Holmes. And then besides that, Chapman might be a head case. The rest of them kind of blow. If Heim can find a way to get a power bat, and a pitcher like Castillo, and the Red Sox bullpen could be a combination of Sale, Whitlock, Schreiber, Strom, and Houck. I mean, I might entertain the Red Sox chances in a 7-game series against the Yankees. That's pretty formidable.
I mean, it's amazing how, you know, the mentality and your approach to this team changes, you know, after last two games, because, you know, you're not saying this stuff on Saturday. But then after, you know, you cap off the second win in two nights and you split 2-2, like, now you're exposing some of the flaws that the Yankees have with some of their starters. You know, Chapman is Chapman, and he always kind of, you know, fails against the Red Sox. And maybe you are in their heads a little bit. It's still Boone and a lot of the same guys, you know, that sort of lost here last year. And Fenway's not an easy place to play. So there is part of, we want to avoid this team in the playoffs as much as we can. And we did this with the Bronx and the Celtics, right? Or excuse me, Brooklyn and the Celtics. You don't want to face Brooklyn.
I don't know. Really? You know what was really part of the disappointing part of the weekend for me was Pivetta's outing.
Both of them.
Yeah. Like, that to me is sort of giving me pause. Both of them, yeah. If you want to go back to the Tampa series, he sucked in that one, too.
Bad then, too.
Yeah. But I was just referring specifically to a 7-game series, as Nick said, with the Yankees. You face good lineups. You face good teams. Pivetta sucked his last two times out, which is disappointing. With a healthy Evaldi, with Sale, who we're going to get to, I think the Red Sox entire rotation has a different look to it. If Sale is still Sale, which I'm not sure is the case.
The velocity's back. We'll get into that. I don't believe he's the same guy.
Okay, why don't we get into that? Right. Chris Sale had his latest outing at Worcester and then bashed a TV to bits and pieces. But just so you know, the TV was broken before he bashed it to bits and pieces and ripped it off the wall.
Ryan Fitzgerald.
Remember, there's a guy going into Cooperstown this year that also beat up a phone in a dugout, too, and smashed some things. So good players do smash things.
Okay, we'll get to that coming up next. Chris Sale, after these headlines with our...
Face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now, and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.
They bring you insight like no one else can.
Who cares? It was a bad take. I've got a million of them.
Zolak, that's a twerk.
And Bertrand.
We can make a laundry list of horrible takes.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Chris Sale is here tonight.
Yes.
He's not at Worcester. Very, very famously, I'm sure you know by now, to a TV off a wall in frustration. He was angry. He kicked it. That's the one thing that bothered me. I'm like, Chris, don't kick it.
Yeah, don't hurt
Don't
yourself.
Get hurt again.
I mean, that's the biggest thing. It's kind of embarrassing. Obviously, he didn't know anybody was filming him. What? I mean, who would think somebody could film you? But it ends up being a little embarrassing. I'm just glad he didn't get hurt.
You know, when I was young, I made mistakes. I'm not going to shy away from it. I acted like an idiot last night, and I've acted like an idiot before. I do it in the dugout. I've been told through the years, hey, take it to the tunnel. So you think you're in a safe space, and you think that you're in private. That's a place that you're not supposed to really have cameras. There's no public access to that, so I thought I was in, you know, kind of a safer spot. But, hey, it is what it is, man. It's who I am. It's what makes me a big leader. It's what makes me good at my job. Might not be the best for the public eye, but what is?
All right, Chris Sale, rehab start in Worcester. Didn't go well for him. Bashes the TV to bits, calls himself an idiot after the fact. Your thoughts?
It's like same old stuff again. Here we go. You know, the guy's won 11 games, what, in the last 4 years for you? There were some big ones, give him that. But when bad things happen, he's always accountable for it. You know, when the pitching was bad, yeah, I sucked today. It's like the woe was me thing after. And it gets old after a while. What's he so upset about? That's what I want to know.
So at the time, he was worried it meant he was not going to come up for his next start because Cora had said if it did not go well, there was a fair chance they were going to push him back. But that was before Waka went down.
So you're going to act like a big baby because you're not going to get called up to the big club. You're a $30 million a year guy. You broke your back pitching. You get hurt doing physical things. And then all of a sudden, you're going to act like a petulant child like this, and destruct. Okay, TV is already broken. Yeah, it's nice to get the bill, I guess. But when you make that kind of money, you could just go in and break things, and people could continue to cover for you and kiss your ass. And yeah, like I heard Tyne Bloom on this topic. Like, let's not forget David Ortiz. There's a guy going into Canton, you know, next month at
Cooperstown
that broke some things. Yeah, or excuse me, Canton.
He's going to Cooperstown.
Cooperstown. Yep. Sorry, mm-hmm. But you get it. Hall of Fame. Same Hall of Fame.
Toronto.
So they just cover for this guy, you know, and I'm just waiting for him to be the old him. And I just don't think we're ever going to see that. Like the frustration of, I'm not right. I know I stunk. I don't want to stay here. I want to get called up. Yeah, do you want to get called up and then get shelled on Tuesday? These are two huge back-to-back nights to see. I want to see how the kid responds, you know, tonight, and I want to see how Sale comes out of the gate on Tuesday. These are two big pitching performances here in the next 2 days, post-Yankee series after you win two. Don't go out there and blow it the next two nights here after what you did and how you came back and against the, you know, team that's leading all baseball.
Yeah, I would just say, Chris, can you not do that? Because I'm worried about you hurting yourself. You're made of porcelain. So I'm
after
a little.
You cracked a rib.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. The guy cracked a rib doing what again?
Pitching.
And I hear the safe space
so
argument.
So do I need you to pick up the baseball bat and, like a lunatic, start bashing the wall? I really don't. And that was one of my thoughts. I'm not kidding. Like, this guy's always hurt. What are we doing? Don't do that.
Yeah, when your adrenaline's cranking.
You're 33 years old. You're not a kid anymore. Like, grow up a little bit. What are you doing? It's not about the cost of the TV.
No, of course
not. Guy could buy 100 more of them with what he's got in his pocket. Like,
no, but you hear the safe space thing. Oh, what? They're filming me when I'm in my safe space.
He did. You know what? He took accountability and said, I'm an idiot, and I acted like a seven-year-old. He did that, but then he throws in this thing about, but over the years, they've told me to take it down the tunnel, and I thought that was a safe space. Like, stop it.
There we go. Yeah.
Stop.
It's like, with all due respect, Mr. Dennett.
You know? Chris Hill, you're on the mound. You should be happy just for that at this point. That you're out on the mound and you're pitching and you're getting back to doing your job. And that you're able to be out there at least attempting to do your job. The outing was miserable. It was a bad outing. You walked a bunch of guys. The control wasn't there. And this now goes to that second part of it, which is Chris Sale, even if the velocity comes back, is he going to end up being the same guy?
I'd say probably not. I think you're at the point now with this guy, multiple years into it, multiple injuries, different type of injuries, not even arm-related injuries, back injuries. You know, he's not a big physical guy. I don't think he can retool or reinvent himself, be a different type of pitcher. And when you don't have it, you don't have it. I think that's part of the frustration. I think the frustration that's coming out is you're seeing in him that, like, yeah, I'm not what I was. And I think he's the kind of guy that just doesn't go out there and can half-ass it and be content with it, which I do appreciate. Because I want him at full strength, full go.
I don't know if you remember, but there was this FanGraphs study, probably. Milliken, you've got to know about this one. Do you remember the FanGraphs study where they studied the age at which pitchers completely fall off?
Yes, I do know what you're talking
begins?
About.
And a lot of front office types, I'm sure, believe in some version of the theory or have their own ideas on it as to when the drop-off happens. But right around 31, I remember, was a big age for pitchers starting the decline.
Look at David Price.
And exactly. David Price is ready to retire. Chris Sale's 33 now. He's not a young man anymore.
You don't heal the same.
And so he has fewer miles on him because he's been out and has been dealing with injuries now. But I think it should be a real concern that he never returns to form.
I look at it and I think last year for him to start 9 games with a 3.16 ERA with 2 pitches, he was functioning off 2 pitches alone.
When's the last time this guy had a real ramp up to like the start of the season? Seriously.
This would have been the first year in some time. And I think even the injury stuff, it's like he missed a year and a half with Tommy John and the Red Sox screwing around, not letting him get Tommy John when he needed it. Yeah, the cracked rib happened. But for him to be where he's at, listen, you made 9 starts last year, 3.16. We went over it with Jones, who said they only put him against bad teams. They skipped him once, and it was when he had COVID. That was his only skip down the stretch last year. And he was out of gas by the time he got to the postseason. I think the key for them is the change up back, and that's what everyone's saying. And while the line wasn't the prettiest, he walked some guys. Alex Speer had it in his column. Every scout there said his stuff is significantly better than what it was a year ago.
96, 97 he was throwing in there.
The stuff's back. Like, he has it. Is it going to take a little bit for the mechanics to get there? Yes. Should you be careful with him? Yes. Treat him like the Dodgers treat Clayton Kershaw. Because you know what? Chris Sale was one of the biggest workhorses in all of baseball. He's one of the greatest pitchers of his generation the first half of his career. And those innings, they add up. But if you're telling me he could do that 3.16 ERA with 2 pitches, I think he's going to at least be able to give you the same thing with better stuff.
We'll find out. Chris Sale is on his way back. He needs to chill out, though, a little bit. Just chill. Listen, cutting up the jerseys in Chicago, you were a young man when you did that, right? That's years ago. It's excusable when you're younger. It was Ryan Fitzgerald that blew up the TV to begin with. That's who it was? Who broke it in the first place?
Ryan Fitzgerald.
How old's Ryan Fitzgerald? Like, he's a little bit older,
isn't
he?
27. He's an indie ball guy.
27. At 27, I feel like that's acceptable. By the time you're almost in your like mid-30s, like, guy, please, you're an adult. Will you stop? Will you stop? You hurt your
Worcester.
Right. What, it's just your Woo Sox jersey.
He's walking down the tunnel with
a chill out.
Worcester jersey. I laughed at that. Like,
the whole thing was funny, I thought.
You're like, you're a big boy now. Will you
look like a tool bag. You're laughing
watching him fly around like
porcelain doll.
Look at this
will you
idiot.
Not get yourself hurt, please?
I thought it was hilarious.
Oh, God. The last thing we need is to get hurt again. Let's get your calls on that. Worcester. I see you waiting. 617-779-0985. Maybe a little bit from the K-Rod cast last night. It wasn't just Clemens that was on there. Maz was on there, too. Our very own guy. That's all on the way here on Zolak.
Face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now, and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.
Zolak. I digress. That tastes different in Florida.
Bertrand. I got no brother chili.
Zolak and Bertrand. 98.5 Sports Hub.
And we're excited to bring in our good friend, well, my good friend. He doesn't like Alex, and that's Tony Maserati, big afternoon drive personality in Boston, longtime writer for the Boston Herald as well. Tony, how you doing?
I'm good. How you guys doing?
We're doing great. You want, Alex says, say whatever you want about him right now. Here he is, almost face to face.
Okay, so look, hate is a strong word, okay? I don't know that I hate anybody on the planet, but I will say that if he feels that way, I should tell you, Alex, that most people feel that way after I talk to them. So I don't know that it was anything exclusive to you is probably the better way to say it.
Is that nervous, Maz?
No, I don't think so. Do you?
No, not if you know Maz. That's giggling Maz, and we saw Maz over the weekend too. By the way, Rick Radzik did a fantastic job. And was that third annual cornhole tournament?
Yeah,
raising money. You know, Quincy.
First one was prior to the pandemic.
First wife, yeah, but a fantastic job for everybody who showed up for that.
Losing track of the years.
Maz knew he was going to get it from A-Rod because. He knows that it was said that A-Rod knows he hates him. And so Maz was prepared for that last night. That's a tough spot. National TV. There's A-Rod sitting there. And, yeah, this guy hates me. What else are you going to say? I get denied. No, I never said that. No, I never said that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You said a lot on air. 2-6. And sometimes you got to be held accountable for it. Maz was held accountable last night for hating A-Rod. Not wrong with hating
I'm
A-Rod.
Trying to. I went back last night, and I was trying to remember, like, did Maz... Was he super critical of A-Rod? Was he?
I'm sure with the Jeter stuff.
I'll wait for his show today. He'll
tell you why. Yeah, absolutely.
I remember Maz being the guy that broke the news that the Red Sox were talking to A-Rod. I'm pretty sure he was the guy who broke that story back when local reporters broke stories.
I'm sure based on that, if you know Maz, what Maz thinks of Jeter and all that and how that all unfolded, in New York, the A-Rod stuff here with Veritek and that. And I'm sure Maz has had multiple comments regarding A-Rod when he covered the team as intently as Maz did over all those years. I can see him hating A-Rod. A lot of dislike for A-Rod. I thought he's damn good talking baseball. I learned baseball. I don't know a lot about baseball, but I learned from A-Rod when he talks baseball.
Yeah, I do like it.
It's the inside stuff and the little things that make them good, the good hitters, the good pitchers, which made them last as long as they did.
I think A-Rod got bored in the booth. Because I thought he came out really strong when he was doing that. And
yeah.
By the end, he had sort of tailed off and wasn't very good.
Yeah.
Then you got bored.
It's long. And then maybe you don't like some of the people you work with. And it sort of.
The cast.
It's not a good crew they had. It kills you.
He was changing all the time.
I think it wears on you. Yeah.
But anyway, whatever. He's good.
He's damn good.
I enjoy him. Yep.
You could dislike him because he's a former Yankee and, and steroids or whatever and the J-Lo stuff and never could stay out of the public eye. And he's sort of a cheeseball at times.
A-Rod and Clemens, the two guys who, are good and that we like.
They're like, really two good talking the game.
That we hated more than anyone in the world.
Anybody else give you that stuff they give you?
I think the answer is no. The odd thing about Clemens, not about Clemens, but about A-Rod. The odd thing is with A-Rod is that he doesn't need to do this. I mean, he has so much money from just his – forget all the other investments. He's a big real estate guy.
Huge. He's on Shark Tank
now involved in the ownership of the Timberwolves. Yep. I mean, this guy has significant holdings. Financially, he's done very well for himself beyond just being a super rich baseball player who made hundreds of millions as a player, right? Massive contracts.
Right.
For smashing the record multiple times for the biggest money in baseball. So – outside of just that, I mean, he doesn't need to be doing this.
No,
he still wants to do it because he likes it.
He likes the game.
He wants to do it.
There's parts of the game I think he likes.
But Clemens last night, talking about when I came up, My locker was between Marty Barrett and Dwight Evans. And you're like, oh. And he's talking about how he learned from those guys when they studied opposing pitchers, how he learned to not make the mistakes that they would find in other pitchers on the mound. He said, these guys would just sit in the dugout and watch pitchers and pick up their tendencies. And he said, I learned that you couldn't have any of those 10. I mean, it was great stuff.
Oh, and they talked about facing each other. And Roger would say, yeah, I'd reach back. I could hit 100. I'd throw over 100 a couple times, you know, when I wanted to. But I couldn't pitch at 100. But I had to elevate to 100 when you have a guy like A-Rod you go against. And A-Rod was saying, yeah, I remember his time in Toronto, sort of untouchable. Couldn't hit him there.
Yeah, talking about Clemens. Different,
he remembers the pitches and at-bats that he had against Clemens over all those years.
And how Clemens would change the grip on the baseball mid-windup because he would show the split, and then all of a sudden he would change to a fastball mid-changeup if he had a runner on second base so that he would fool the runner into tipping off the batter, that it was the split when, in fact, it was the fast. Like, it was great stuff. You don't get that on any other broadcast.
No, that's the stuff. And I like the locker room stuff. I like the clubhouse stuff where he's like, yeah, I used to grow a beard and out of respect for my dad, but I can only grow it for like 5 days because, Joe Torre would come around and grab his cheeks and, yeah, we don't have beards. And
I almost had a Milliken moment last night where Milliken's always screaming, inject that into my veins, right?
Yeah.
Like Roger Clemens talking about Rich Gedman and Bill Hasselman catching the second 20K game in Detroit and how Tony Pena would throw the ball back harder to him if he thought Clemens was slacking and not giving it his all. Like, Pena would just keep throwing the ball harder and harder back to him on the mound. Like,
to prove a point.
Right there. Inject that into the veins, Milliken. That's baseball right there. Yeah. That's Red Sox baseball.
Not your 109 exit velocity,
Marty
Milliken.
Barrett, Dewey Evans, Gedman, Hasselman. Get right
you
there.
And Dan Roach getting excited about JD Martinez exit velocity on a double.
Ugh. By the way, I did a quick little Google search. Tony Maserati, Alex Rodriguez.
Yeah, what'd you find?
Came up with a couple things from 2015.
Do you have a Herald subscription?
I do.
Good. That you can actually read them. I can only see the headlines.
So from 2015, there was something that he said, let's play word association. I say Alex Rodriguez, or you say Alex Rodriguez, I say pathetic has been or something.
Ooh.
And then
that's a good one.
2008, there's another one.
Yeah.
His opening line here says, here's the thing about Alex Rodriguez. Most players want to be like him, but nobody wants to be him.
What does that mean exactly? Because he's a bit of a dink? Like,
yeah,
I guess so.
Want to be him as a player, but not as a person?
I'd like to have
Chase Utley.
I'd like to be him, who he is, and what he has.
Well, that was 2008. That's right around the time that A-Rod was chasing Jeter up the steps, doing anything Jeter would do. So he looked really bad at that time. Like, Jeter would get on the top step, and then A-Rod would have to be on the top step. There was all those weird dugout things going on at that time.
Oh, that Jeter stuff's coming out soon, right? ESPN stuff?
Oh, yeah. Clemens mentioned that last night.
Oh, my God. A-Rod's in it, too. Talking about it. Yeah. I can't wait to watch that.
Clemens said they're doing a thing on his 20 strikeout games.
You'll be injecting that in your veins.
Oh, my God. Have you ever watched that Seattle game, Milliken?
I have.
How pathetic. How pathetic were the Mariners?
Watching Roger Clemens, steroids or not, I put him in the same conversation as I put Barry Bonds. Steroids or not, I look at them as the most dominant pitching I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah. Yep. I actually think the second time around against Detroit, may be more impressive. It might be. Because I feel like that Seattle Mariners lineup was garbage. Garbage. Yeah. You just take advantage of the bottom half of that lineup. 617-779-0985. Eddie's in Sudbury. Eddie!
I don't mind the passion from Sale and all that good stuff. But him saying this is what makes him good at his job, literally it is not. Minor vandalism doesn't make you good at your job. Being available to throw fastballs and sliders on the inner and outer half of the plate is what makes you good at your job, not breaking TVs. If you're going to go out there and pitch a complete game, I'll go to Best Buy personally and deliver a TV before every game.
But here's the problem. They cover it for him. This is what they say. This is what his general manager says. This is what the team that signed him says. This is what his current manager says. He's He's an energy guy.
Right. Your passion cannot help you overcome all your availability issues.
They back him up
on this. Of the last few years.
They back him up on this, which allows him to continue to have these incidents because this is what he is and this is what makes him great.
I agree with Eddie. No, your availability is what can make you really great.
Your ability to channel your anger.
Your ability to show up and do your job on the regular would be far more important than your passion.
What do you guys think the difference is between this and when Porcello smashed the two TVs 3-4 years ago?
I don't remember that.
It's rare.
He's walking down the dugout steps and he just smashed him with the one
above.
Hands.
The one above. But that is minimal. That's like rogue incident for that guy.
And it wasn't as
Rick
funny.
Porcello?
Porcello blow.
Oh, no, I'd say that's Chris Sale. What Chris Sale did, I don't think anybody's surprised. That's Chris Sale.
No, it's the first thing I thought, but I chuckled at it. I laugh at it when Sale does it.
Yeah, Porcello usually more of a calm guy. Most people saw him, but he was a little bit of a maniac.
But he snapped.
I mean, Sale's cut up jerseys and screamed at the manager about the
cut up jerseys thing. I don't hate him for that.
I don't hate him for any of this.
I don't hate him for that one.
He's a bit
of a wacky guy. That one to me
that's premeditated, not outburst. Right,
that's not an outburst. That's
Beatles
not.
Right.
That to me is the.
I'm against this. I've pre-thought this out.
I'm issuing a protest, an official protest of these uniforms.
Isn't that kind of weird?
That is going to prevent me from doing my job to the best of my abilities, and therefore. Because some marketing guy thinks we're going to make an extra, you know, $10 on selling some of these jerseys, I'm going to protest this decision because my employer is dead wrong. And he was in a position to fight back, and he did. That's sticking it to the man.
Okay.
This outburst stuff. You're a grown man now. You're 33 years old. Cut it out. Cut it out already. Can you just be available and go out and pitch, please? That's all we need from you. Just go out and pitch.
Yeah.
Our Canada's headlines. 90 seconds. We're right back.
Face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.